For most people, the hardest part of reciting a verse is remembering the reference, and I believe it was Mr. Brown that reminded us that it is easier, it's a good practice to say the reference before and after the verse. And even though this is a familiar verse, that is what we will do. All right, ready? John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
John 3:16.
Please welcome Bill Hoppe.
Well, amen. That brings me such joy to see the kids reciting scripture. So last week I listened to Pastor Jeff's message from my home, and it is awesome, and I feel honored to fill the pulpit today in his place. So last week he did the first phrase, for God so loved the world, the who. And there was two things I remember about God that he said. He's all powerful and he has all authority. Cindy and I, we homeschooled 7 children, and she was the main instructor for 31 years. And a big part, though, of that upbringing was Awana. And all our kids were in Awana from cubbies, age 3, all the way through high school. And so I believe in the ministry, and 58 years ago, I put my faith and trust in Jesus as my Savior in Awana Club. So I have the heart for it. And the reason I mentioned the homeschooling, because my part of homeschooling was starting the day. I would wake them up and we'd call them down to the living room. We'd give them a few minutes to come on down. So we would start by reading the Bible, spend time in God's Word. But before we did that, I would either play the, you know, you remember cassette tapes? I would play a cassette tape of either the hymn that we were singing for the month. We would learn a hymn every month. Or a video that we're going to play that you may have seen, but I would wake them up with this video. Please take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. Okay, I asked Ken if he would read the first 36 verses of John 1.
John 1:1-36. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you?" We need to give an answer to those who sent us. "What do you say about yourself?" He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, Behold, the Lamb of God.
Thank you, Ken. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Also your Son, who is called the Word in this passage. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. That's the title of this series, Love is Come. And Lord, as we look at John 3:16 and related passages, I just ask that you'd speak loud and clear through your Holy Spirit and your Word. And Father, may our ears, our hearts be very open. And this season is such a joyous season. We sang praises up to you. I just love Christmas songs. I love praising Jesus, as I'm sure everybody here as well. And now we just want to focus a little from your word on Jesus, on the wonderful, most precious gift we could have, the gift of eternal life through your Son. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I picked this introductory passage because this is another name of Jesus, the Word. Again, Pastor Jeff's message last week was, for God so loved the world, the who. Today, the message is that he gave his one and only Son, the Word. And so my task is the how. So in Awana, we like to say, what makes any ministry successful, not just Awana? It's two things. It's the love of God's people reaching out to others combined with the power of God's word. And so we like it to say it by these three B's: belong, believe, and become. We want the kids like that were on the platform early, want them to feel welcome, that they belong here. And if they don't already believe, we hope that sometime during that year, like for me, 58 years ago, that first year in Awana, about halfway into the year, I put my faith and trust in Christ. I believe. But we don't stop there. We want them to become resilient disciples of Christ that will last for the rest of their lives, that they will then become disciple makers themselves. So that's our goal in Awana. And so the big important thing is God's word, and it's all about Jesus. In fact, our middle school or junior high curriculum for Awana is called Trek, and there's three books. One is his story, one is his love. So two of those books are about Jesus, scriptures from the Gospels, and the third one is his people, and it's a study of Acts. So enough about Awana, the word. Keep your finger in John and just go back to Psalms. Psalms 138, verse 2. I want to, if this is not a verse that you're familiar with, it's one that I have really come to appreciate. And when I quote or read scripture, it's going to be from King James. That's my preferred translation. But that's why I asked Ken to read, because I know that's not the translation I think most of you use. But anyway, so just so why it sounds different. But Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. You know, God values his name. And it's in the Ten Commandments. You shall not, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So it's very important. We value. And then we saw this video, my king, of all the wonderful names of the Lord that he mentioned. His name is very valuable. And yet it says here that he... Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And that's one of the names of Jesus' word anyways. It's all about him. This book is all about him. So this is our foundation for life. And I just love this verse. If his name is important, he even lifts his word above that. So important is God's word. So that's why I believe in Awana is a ministry, why I'm an Awana missionary. I believe that starting our kids as young as possible, learning about God's word, reading God's word themselves, reading it with their family, reading it at Awana, reading it other times at church, and memorizing it. Memorization is a preparation for meditation. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the godly. It says he will meditate on his word day and night. And see, night, you don't even need a light on to quote scripture. And what better way to go to sleep than quoting scripture? So anyways, the word, I wanted to transition from the who, God, Jesus, he's the Word, but what was one other name in John 1 that Ken read for Jesus? Anybody catch? It was near the end of, in fact, it was the last verse, and it was also a couple of verses before that. What was the name of Jesus? The Lamb of God. And so that's the how, that he gave his one and only Son. He is the Lamb of God. He is the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews says that without the shedding of blood is no remission, no remission of sin. So we have the gospel. John 3:16 is a good place to start. God is love. That's why he gave his son, because he loved us. But God is holy also, Revelation 4:8b, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Which was and is to come. He's always holy. We can only be holy if we've put our faith and trust in his shed blood on the cross. John 1:12 was one of the verses that Ken read. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, that believe in Jesus. So if you want to turn to Matthew 1, and Ken's going to read 18 to 23 of Matthew 1.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Thank you, Ken. So right here in the gospel story, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So some of the verses that kids learn in Awana from the very beginning, Cubbies, the first verse they learn is, God loved us and sent his son. And that's 1 John 4:10. In fact, they learn that again. It's emphasized in Sparks. It's S is for Savior. He sent his son, the Savior. Romans 3:23 is also one of the first verses in Cubbies. They just learn a phrase, all have sinned. And we first have to realize we have the need that we're sinners. To realize that's why Jesus had to come. In the Old Testament, they would offer sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice because man's habit is to sin. And sacrifice kept being made. But you know, every sacrifice was always the best lamb. They gave their best. A lamb without spot. No blemish. So the only perfect sacrifice once and for all was the only man who walked this earth that never sinned, who was also God, Jesus Christ. And that's what John the Baptist's ministry was, to point to Jesus. In fact, right after the few verses that Ken read there, going back to John 1, was Andrew, one of the first disciples Jesus called, was actually a disciple of John the Baptist first. And John told him, the Lamb of God, I'm pointing the way to him. So then he went to him. So some more verses. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's all of us. And again, the need. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, Jesus, is eternal life through him, believing in him. Some more verses. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And that reminds me of Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this is what we are celebrating, the how. So why did God send his son? Jesus always existed. That's what that John 1 passage again was about. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In fact, it said, is it verse 4, that he made everything. And he is the creator. So again, it was God love sending part of the Trinity, his son. And then he, as Hebrews also mentions, he was tempted in all things as any person, even more so. I mean, when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. So it was important that he would be sent. Another scripture verse on salvation is Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way. Okay, now we're going to go to John 3. This is a wonderful example. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, reached out to people from all walks of life. And as you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, and so forth, most of them gave Jesus a hard time because they didn't want to give up their authority. They got all the attention. People were going to them for teaching and learning. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and he's drawing huge crowds and people are following him. And so they were always looking for ways to try to trip him up. That's why this passage is significant, because Nicodemus isn't like that. Nicodemus wanted to know what Jesus was all about. And so Ken is going to come one more time, so turn to John 3, and he will read the first 21 verses and then the last verse, 36.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who hath descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And finally, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him.
So it's simple faith. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's simple faith. So the first verse they memorize in TNT is Ephesians 2:8, 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we cannot earn our salvation. And I'm speaking to the choir, right? You all know this. But I feel it's important to go over salvation every now and then, because you never know. Somebody might be here that's never saved. Or you could be like me. I grew up in a Christian home. I was going to church ever since I was born. My parents took me. I was involved in Sunday school. But it wasn't until I was 8 or 9 years old, that first year of Awana, that it clicked with me. So it's worth repeating. It's faith. Faith alone, it's not works. However, the next verse, verse 10 in Ephesians 2, it says we are created for good works. So once we are saved, we should be about doing whatever God has put on our heart to do. And I am so thankful the way he designed the body of Christ. We have different gifts. We have different talents. And so we have people that are good at the sound system, good at singing and so forth. Those aren't me. I'm thankful for people like that. Those of you who have been in this church a long time and have seen Awana through the years, you've seen kids grow up. You've seen them go on and walk with the Lord, hopefully. Some of them are probably serving in different capacities. Maybe as a layman, that's what I did most of my life until 10 years ago, almost 11 now. that I became an Awana missionary. I just want to tell you about one example. Well, one is your commander. Chris grew up in this church, and now he's leading the Awana ministry here. Awana opened the doors a number of years ago, and it used to be you had to sign a doctrinal statement. We agree exactly the way Awana believes, and which is the way your church believes. But now we've opened the door wider because we're hoping that even churches that don't agree doctrinally will be in God's Word more, and their kids getting a foundation of God's Word. I only lay that for a little background because I want to show a video. And some have attacked The Chosen. It's a clip from The Chosen. But the reason I want to show it is two reasons. One, Dallas Jenkins was a boy in my Awana club when I was a young leader. His dad, Jerry Jenkins, he's written many books. He was the vice president of Moody Bible Institute, in charge of publications, in charge of Moody Monthly, if you remember that magazine. We knew the family is a very godly family. And Jerry was gifted with a creative mind. Did you know most of the books, he's wrote well over 100 books, but most of them are fiction. His purpose in writing fiction was to get an interest in spiritual things, getting people into the Bible. His son Dallas is doing it with film, and he's using The Chosen now. The Chosen is not a documentary, so it's not "Thus saith the Lord" word perfect from the Bible. But it's amazing how much is right on. What Dallas does is get creative to say, maybe this is how it happened. So if you see anything, if you ever watch The Chosen that you don't get, that's okay. It's the way he sees it might happen. So I want to show this because this is Jesus and Nicodemus. And I think he did an excellent job of showing how much Jesus loves people and how much he loved Nicodemus.
Father, we just thank you so much for giving the perfect gift, your most prized possession, your son, that you gave, your only begotten son, for us. Lord, just to help us remember that as we remember this season, remember this time, Lord, that you're the gift, you're the ultimate gift, you're the best gift, you're the utmost gift. And beyond that, Father, that giving is the gift. Lord, help us give that gift to the people around us, because that's the most important gift we could ever give anybody. Lord, help us remember that as we go through the holidays and go through the times, and even beyond that, it's not just this moment, not just this holiday, Lord, this should be every day. Lord, we just thank you so much for what we've heard today, through the message, through this, the clip, and just different things. Lord, just help that just penetrate us and put it in where it needs to be put in. Lord, we can take and give it out to who needs to get it. Lord, we love you. We give you all the honor and glory. And help us go, because we are the church. We love God. And we love others. Amen. Amen.